All right, well, our moderator left, so we're going to each introduce ourselves. This should be a very interesting set of presentations, at least after mine. But we welcome you to this session on community health planning and development. And then missing a P. All right, so my policy. Very good. That's why I'm here. Policy. So my name is Michael Gelder, and I am consulting in the Chicago area, teaching in the area of health policy. For 6 years, I served in the governor's office under Governor Pat Quinn in Illinois as his senior health policy advisor. And for the last two, in basically calendar years 2013 and 2014, I served as the director of the Governor's Office of Health Innovation and Transformation. And that's really what this paper is covering, which is primarily the stakeholder engagement process in which we engage to help bring consumers and providers, especially community-based providers, into the discussion about health system transformation. I have no financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation in the last 12 months. And Jennifer McGowan, who was an associate of mine in the Office of Health Innovation and Transformation, will also be sharing a few of the discussion points with you, and she doesn't have anything to report of financial conflict nature either. So what we want to do is describe our healthcare transformation effort, the intensive stakeholder engagement process, that we engaged in, and share some of our experiences. And then, because we lost the election in November, just 360 days ago, we are no longer in office. The new governor came in with his own health team and has not continued this particular effort. So I just want that as a spoiler alert that that this effort is not, as we're describing it, continuing. But I still think it's helpful for those of you in either state government or in community organizations or interested in health policy to see what we did, how we did it, and how we're trying to still pursue it outside of government, and how you can use it in your own careers. We know we needed health system transformation. How many of you are familiar with that concept of the federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation, the work that we're doing transforming? Just about all of you. So I'll go through some of the points. One of them, of course, is the triple aim of improved health, more cost-effective healthcare, and we'll cover those slides in a few minutes. But that's really the essence. Illinois had still has very high costs. We have a lot of Blue Cross Blue Shield is the major insurer in the state. There are other companies in the market, but they have much lower percentages than they would need to have what we would call a competitive market. And so we wanted to address that by trying to reform healthcare delivery, not just the way it's paid for, but the way healthcare is delivered, as a mechanism to reducing and helping us control our costs, both for Medicaid, which is a state government responsibility, but throughout the economy, because our whole everybody's lives and paychecks relate in some to some extent on how much is the companies are paying for health insurance. Late in 2012. We applied for and received a grant that started early in 2013, a six-month planning grant under from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Innovations, available to states that wanted to adopt this method of transforming healthcare. And so we had a very short time frame. 6 months is a very short period of time when you're talking about bringing providers, payers, and insurance plans to the table to really talk about commitments that they would make to fix this overly costly and underperforming healthcare system. And we added as a fourth P, the public health system, because we realized, of course, with population health and all the attention that we should be devoting to that and social determinants of health, that they needed to be a player as well. So we ended up with four Ps: the providers of healthcare, the payers, the insurance companies, and the public health system. Through this process, we identified five specific drivers, we call them objectives, the drivers necessary to achieve this triple aim. Through that process, we found the stakeholders, the CEOs really went to see every single one of them of the companies that were selling in the Medicaid market in Illinois, and they agreed to commit. They were very involved. And we employed a group of consultants, health management associates, whose role should not be understated, who really helped us with a lot of staff work, legwork that was needed to make this work, as well as the some credibility, because they had people employed by them, doctors who'd been working in the Chicago area and had some very special relationships with the people that, with which we needed to participate, adding some credibility. So this is the slide of the what we call the triple aim at the top, which is the improved health status, the improved efficiency and effectiveness of clinical care, and reduced costs. These are the triple aim that you'll see phrased in slightly different ways, and but those are the three how we interpreted the federal mandate, articulated to some extent in the Affordable Care Act, but certainly a goal that was out there even before the ACA passed. The ACA just provided some funds for entities like CMMI to help fund state and provider efforts. So the five objectives, which were the things around which everything else rotated, was the creation of integrated delivery systems, along with the payment reforms that were necessary to achieve integrated delivery. That means a rejection, really, and a moving away from the fee-for-service system upon which most payments are still made, were at least when we were doing this in 2012, but still a lot of them, and the need to make sure that the money was being used to create systems where primary, secondary, tertiary care, behavioral health were all part of that. And that led us to our second objective, which was we needed to make sure that that the integrated delivery systems would be able to serve people who had special needs. So we called them the additional supports and services. And the specific needs could be anything from behavioral health, like I said, but even people in the child welfare system, people in the correctional system, people coming out of the correctional system needed special attention. And there are so many of them that we wanted to make sure that the integrated delivery systems and everything we were doing would be able to provide care to people at the highest level of need, because then those of us who are healthy enough, and moms and kids and families that are generally healthy, would be able to get services very efficiently and effectively as well. Thirdly, we wanted to address the environmental and social determinants of health. We know from all the various pie charts how important those are in determining health, much more so even than access to medical care. So that was the third. Fourth, we knew that if we were going to do those things, we really had to address our workforce. Our workforce in the state is barely able to keep up in the current structure, and if we start emphasizing integrated delivery, team-delivered care, we could no longer tolerate the concerns that we have about primary care specialists not even wanting to talk to primary care providers, let alone community health workers. And so the workforce had to address those, as well as something that we were very proud of, a progressive component of this, which was to make sure that the new staff coming in, like community health workers or home care aides, would be adequately compensated and not receiving sub-poverty level wages. And then lastly, we wanted to work on continuous improvement, because no matter what we were doing in 2013, 2014, we knew we would have to move, the system would continue to change, evolve, new evidence would be there, and we would have to continue to learn and integrate that learning into health system design. So we did all of that in 2013, but then the question was, how would we implement this? These were great objectives, but still obviously a lot of work to do. And one of the most important things was the stakeholders, the many of them beside, there were 85 or so that were involved in the first phase of work, but there were hundreds of more people in Illinois working for home and community-based service agencies, working in hospitals with key policy-making roles, who were supportive but hesitant, because the devil's always in the details, and they wanted to wait to see what the details were. So we called the detailed development phase of this the implementation plan, and we knew we needed their active participation for transformation to really take hold. We knew we had two sources of potential funding for all of this. There was the Section 1115 Medicaid waiver, which is still available to states, and we pursued that and submitted a waiver application, which I'll describe. And then there was also up to $100 million available in the State Innovation Model, SIM, State Innovation Model, Round 2 funding. So we'd gotten that first round award in 2012, and now we were going to go after the bigger money that would actually pay for implementation efforts. And that was our way of funding this. The 1115 waiver, we knew we couldn't start a whole new set of things, so we collapsed everything around those same drivers. But here we wanted to expand home and community-based services, supportive housing, and simplify provider payments. And we also had the opportunity in an 1115 waiver, which can be complicated, could be a whole session on its own, but it has to be cost neutral over 5 years. So the federal government will give states additional money in the beginning to help them move ahead with their reforms, but in the end it had to be cost neutral, so spending would definitely have to be lower at the end of that five-year period. To match the money that was going to be put in at the beginning. So these are the same. These are around the same things: transforming the healthcare delivery system, the population health management, which corresponded to the third driver, the workforce, and then we wanted to put additional attention to long-term services and supports infrastructure, choice, and coordination to expand that to help reduce costs for institutionalization, for which Illinois was paying much higher rates and amounts of money and percentages of its budget than other states. On the SIM side, there was the round two funding. We wanted the goal here, the thing that we knew we had to meet to get that funding, was a commitment and a plan to move 80% of our population into integrated delivery systems. So to do this, we created, Governor Quinn created through an executive order, the Office of Health Innovation and Transformation, that would centralize and coordinate all of the work being done in state government. We have a different state agencies: Department of Healthcare Family Services, which runs the Medicaid program. We have the Department of Human Services, which has the expertise for people with disabilities, developmental disabilities, mental illness, as well as Department on Aging. So that wouldn't work with having four agencies out there. So we, in addition to others like professional regulation because of our workforce issues, so we created this new office that provided the structure to go after grants, both the 1115 and the SIM money. The office was the vehicle through which we established this work group process, and that we insisted and knew had to be open and participatory, and so we did everything we could to make sure did our meetings through webinars, video conferences between Springfield and Chicago, telephone conferences to bring people in, using polling and things to immediately get people's move discussion along towards resolution and towards consensus. So the work group alignment, there we have the Alliance for Health Innovation Plan, that was the original one, the 1115 waiver, and then the Alliance work groups on the right, which were structured all around the same set of objectives so that there was consistent message. And now I will turn this over to Jen McGowan, a student at the University of Illinois School of Public Health, who will describe some of the design and operational features. Thanks.
Thank you, Michael. So I worked with Mike in the GoHit office on policy, and I just want to go back to this slide for just a moment to sort of say the crux of the stakeholder engagement process was really designing a system where we could bring a lot of people together, because in the implementation phase there was a lot of interest, hundreds of stakeholders. So we designed a work group process that really used the different pathways and objectives and filtered them into work groups. And so these work groups began meeting in July of 2014, and what we found very quickly was that they're very broad and work needed to be divided very quickly. So we allowed through GoHit for the flexibility of creating subcommittees. The work groups collaborated and the subcommittees collaborated through chairs and co-chairs, so we developed a system where the information could flow between all levels in an effort to reduce redundancies and to share work that affected different areas that didn't automatically translate into the work groups that we created. So the GoHIT office consolidated recommendations from all of these subcommittees and work groups, and at the end we came out with a strategic plan that really addressed key implementation strategies for moving this work forward. So as I mentioned, the work groups had chairs and co-chairs who were responsible for developing content and guiding the discussion and consensus around recommendations, but they were also supported by subject matter experts who provided technical expertise specific to that work group. And that was key because we needed some additional support to develop some of these really big issues from individuals working in the field and who could provide some outside context, not just coming straight from government. There were work group coordinators and logistics specialists, and these folks really helped keep the process moving. They were really, really important to the continuation and the just development of meetings, development of internal liaisons between work groups so that we knew what was going on from one group to the other. And in an effort where we were, you know, bringing hundreds of stakeholders together on a government budget, we really needed to be specific and careful in our planning efforts. And so the logistics specialists really helped us do that and stay organized. These are some examples of tools that we use that Michael mentioned. We had survey tools, we had a SharePoint site, we had polls, and all of that was used to bring consensus together in a really short 6-month time frame and keep our whole group organized. So just a few things that we wanted to mention that were specific to this process, which might be different in other processes that that you all are working on, was that the leadership came from the governor's office, but it was really subject to having participation from state agencies that had subject matter expert in a lot of these areas. We also used national experts to facilitate work groups, and one way that we did that was by soliciting and securing grants from supportive nonprofits, so we could collect that some financial support for national expert help in a way that was quick as to fit within the time frame of a 6-month process. I'll just touch very quickly on the internal structure. So one of the key successes of this process was that we really kept communication flowing between the different broad areas of transformation that we were working on. So work group chairs met regularly, the internal groups met regularly, and there were quarterly reports to external stakeholders to make sure that everyone was aware of what was going on. And then I'll just turn.
Well, yeah, I think we'll end it here, and I'll be around afterwards.